Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. Like what? Punk. I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
The jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What? Come on, get in that cell.
I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning, and welcome to Crossroads. We come to you the first Tuesday of every month live from the world-famous Vince Chili Bowl. Vince Chili Bowl has been designated by the Smithsonian Institution as one of the 20 iconic restaurants. When you visit America, you must stop. So we come to you the first Tuesday every month. We've been doing this for over 4 or 5 years. Every first Tuesday from the world famous Chili Bowl. And I just want to add this to it, that the Chili Bowl has been in 65 years. And would you believe, right across the street from, down the street from the Chili Bowl is the Industrial Bank of Washington. They've been in business over 70 years. And across the street from the Industrial Bank is Lee's Floors. They've been in business 70 years. So you got three black businesses that's been in business over 65 to 70 years in Washington, D.C. So it's an honor for the Chili Bowl family to allow us to do our show from the Chili Bowl, because I grew up in the Chili Bowl. I was there before the Chili Bowl was the Chili Bowl. And for the last 67 years, I've been coming into it with the Chili Bowl. So this is our family. We want to thank the Chili Bowl family for allowing us to do our broadcast from. And when we do broadcasts like this, we work with people who work in the community. They do more than just have a restaurant. They're involved in various aspects of this community, feeding people, helping folk out. So when we have people on Crossroads, you can bet your boots they've been in the trenches and they've been on the front line doing what they can do. So we bring on all frontline fighters and folks to us. And at the top of the show, I just want to give a shout out to two outstanding gentlemen. One is named Michael Rogers. He used to be the city administrator underneath of Marion Barry. And let me tell you, Mike has been a guy that I've been known for 40 years, and we never got tight until a month or so ago. My hat's off to you, Mike. You're my kind of guy, as well as Reggie Van Lee, one of the executives at Booz Allen and Hamilton. He now is a close associate of Core Masters Brand, but he works with the CARE Mentoring Program out of New York with Susan Taylor. And these two gentlemen are all over this city doing all kinds of things. You don't hear about all the things that some people do. These are quiet giants, and I want to say a shout-out to Michael Rogers and to Reggie Van Lee, two quiet giants who's doing their part to make things better in our community. Now we open up a word we call the grapevine, information that you can use. The grapevine. Yeah. We're broken. As federal prisoners run low on food and toilet paper, correction officers are leaving in droves to join ICE. Many of the problems the agency is facing now are not new, but staff and prisoners fear an exodus of officers could make life behind bars even worse. After years of struggling to find enough workers for some of the nation's toughest lockups, the Federal Bureau of Prisons is facing a new challenge. Correction officers are jumping ship for more lucrative jobs at Immigration and Customs Enforcement. This is one of the unintended consequences of the Trump administration's focus on mass deportations. For months, ICE has been on a recruiting blitz, offering $50,000 start bonuses and tuition reimbursement at an agency that has long offered better pay than the federal prison system. For many correction officers, it's been an easy sale. Workers at detention centers and maximum security prisons from Florida to Minnesota to California counted off the number of co-workers who left for ICE or were in the process of doing so. After retirement and other attritions, by the start of November, the agency had lost at least 1,400 more staff this year than it had hired. We are broken and we are being poached by ICE, one official with the prison union said. It's unbelievable. People are leaving in droves. The exodus come amid shortages of critical supplies, from food to personal hygiene items, and threatens to make the already grim conditions in federal prisons even worse. Fewer correction officers mean more lockdowns, less programming, and fewer health care services for inmates, along with more risk to staff and more grueling hours of mandatory overtime. Prison teachers and medical staff are being forced to step in as correction officers on a regular basis are leaving the prison system. Trump's administration halted lawsuits targeting civil rights abuse of prisoners and mentally ill people. The Trump administration has halted litigation aimed at stopping civil rights abuses of prisoners in Louisiana and mentally ill people living in South Carolina group homes. The Biden's administration filed lawsuits against the two states in December after the Department of Justice investigation concluded that they had failed to fix violations despite years of warning. Louisiana's prison system has kept thousands of incarcerated people behind bars for weeks, months, and sometimes years after they were supposed to be released. The DOJ accused South Carolina of institutionalizing thousands of people diagnosed with serious mental illnesses, sometimes for decades, rather than provide services that would allow them to live in a less restrictive setting, as is their right under federal law. And here's one that's going to get you going. I'm an innocent man, Liddell Lee pleaded before Arkansas executed him in 2017. 4 years later, new DNA testing found that the DNA on key evidence did not belong to him. The case has not been legally overturned. What happens when you kill the wrong man? And executions is on the increase with the current administration. That has been what we call the grapevine, information that you can use. And now we get to our subject of the show. And this is the first time I've had a family member on with me. And I've been on the air for 17 years. And this is my nephew. He's bigger than me. He's about 7'2". And I'm 5'10". This is my nephew, Anwar Big G Glover, with the ability to mesmerize audiences on screen and on stage. Anwar's presence and distinctive raspy baritone voice captivates all. Anwar Big G Glover was born and raised in D.C. And such accolades motivate him to create which will become one of the most successful and widely known go-go bands in Washington, D.C. Backyard Band, also known as BYB, is the lead rapper. BYB was only the beginning to Anwar's love for entertainment. He landed his breakthrough role on Slim Charles on HBO's The Wire in 2004. Since the sensation of Slim Charles, he has appeared in feature films such as Oscar-winning film 12 Years a Slave, Learning Uncle Vernon, alongside Carmen, Native and Prospect films. He has been seen on other major network shows such as Law and Order, etc. Beyond Anwar's presence is entertainment. In November the 20th, Mayor Adrian Friendly nominated him as designated November the 20th as Anwar Big G Glover Day. He got the keys to the city. He got the city to give him a day for his holiday. He's all over the country doing all kinds of things besides rap, but he's been working on reducing crime in this city. He was nominated by the mayor, Fenty, as the youngest mayor, the youth mayor for Washington, D.C. Besides singing, and I also want to throw this in. Here's my nephew. He lost two brothers, Tayon, and my man, I can't even think of his name, Derek Glover. And when I came out of prison serving life, I asked my sister, his mother, can I have Derek, his oldest brother, to live with me? So his brother, my two sons, me and the Doman Pinscher, lived in the house for 4 years. And every night we had a different night. Everybody had to cook. So after whoever burned the food, then we went out to McDonald's and got something to eat because everybody couldn't cook. We burned everything we tried. So for 4 years, and I wanted to bring you with us, but your mother, my sister, said, leave me somebody here with me. Because you'd have been there, we'd have had five boys in the house. Boy, we had a ball. I'm telling you, Dirk, Barry, Darrell, me, and Rusty the Dover. Yeah. Well, because nobody come in that house without that door and picture old Canyon. Someone say, good morning and thanks to my nephew, Anwar Big G Glover, for joining us this morning, man. Thank you, man.
Thank you for having me, y'all.
Okay. Because, man, I've been seeing you all over the city. I'm so proud of you, man. Every time I turn on TV, I saw you one day on one of the TV shows. They had you in the back of a truck. a trash compactor. And I said, they're going to kill him. And you dived in there. Me, come on in there.
Yeah, that was low order. I had fun shooting that, too. We shot that in New York City. I had fun shooting.
Yeah. You got out there before they compacted you, didn't you?
Yeah, so far as like acting, you know, they had a, I ain't want no stunt devil. They wanted a stunt devil. I said, I don't make too much money yet to have no stunt devil.
Yeah.
So they had the trash can, everything was cleaned out. They had power washes and all that. You jump down and then they cut. But it was good. It was fun, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, I want to say this, man. As my nephew, and you've been all over the city, every time I turn on television and newspapers and radio, they get big events going on all of a sudden. And you're right there in the front of this with the go-go, because I ran into Chuck Brown, the Godfather. We were all down Lord together. He, Petey Green, Rudy Yates, and some more folks.
Yeah.
And for you to come up, for you to be in the forefront of this go-go music, and the go-go is all over the world now. How did that happen? What's your take on it? How did go-go get to be accepted all over the world?
Well, Chuck Brown, I say from Chuck Brown, I say Lil Benny, Rare Essence. It was a big contribute to all of the bands in the city, but like the Pops. We called Chuck Brown Pops. He was like, when I talked to him, I used to meet up with him, like when he drove to Japan and all over there in Europe, he always tell me, like, don't just stop right here. You got to keep going.
Yeah.
So I thank him and like Lil Benny and them, they set that foundation for us a long time ago to just keep going and keep our music alive. Because every time I used to meet with him, that, especially when he got older, that's all he used to say. So you got to keep our music alive.
Yeah. The bottom line is, what's the difference between go-go and rap and hip-hop? It's all three in the same. What's the difference?
Well, go-go is different, but a lot of hip-hop artists was influenced by go-go music by using different, like, treble funk samples, treble funk beats, things of that nature. But go-go is more music-based, congos, drums, keyboards, horns, and guitars.
Yeah.
Versus rap, you could just have a DJ with a sampler, and you don't need that many of a set. It's two or three people might back you up, but a band, you got 14 or 15 or 12. It depends on how your set is and how many people you got in your band.
You know, joining us is my co-host, Nakishi Taifa. She's an attorney. She just got back from Africa.
Oh, beautiful. And,
she's been all over, man. Every time we catch her, she's in a different country. Good morning, Akichi Taifa. Are you there with us?
Good morning, Roach, and good morning, your guests. And yes, I was in Accra, Ghana, and guess what? Yeah, they were playing some go-go music there. I mean, I was at an event. They had Motown. They had go-go. I said, all right now. So, you know, our music is international. You know, Roach, I don't hear nobody. Okay. I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah, you're fine. Yeah, go ahead. You got it.
Yeah, no. I was just saying that our music is international. Even where I was in Accra, Ghana, they were playing our music. So, you know, hey, you know, we are all over the place.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
So I also was in Ghana twice. We also performed in Ghana. We performed in the Slave Castles. We performed at Labadi Beach.
Yes.
And we've also performed at the travel agency where everybody come in for the point of no return. It was a real, real beautiful experience when we went to Ghana. They know us all over Ghana, Accra.
Picture.
All right.
Yeah. Y'all bad,
See, this is something. This is part of how I feel proud. Here's my nephew. He's part of a movement that's bringing a new kind of music worldwide. But besides the music, he's an actor. He's an activist. He's on the front line. And one of the things that really had me upset when you was on stage singing one time, G, and somebody shot you from the audience while you're on stage singing, but shot you below the belt.
That was a tough time right there. Yeah.
You want to explain what happened?
Yeah. We still don't know to this day, but they say it was over a female. So, you know, that's why I think it hit me below the belt. I was able to get back, you know, and I also spoke when I got out of the hospital. I spoke at the Day of Atonement at UDC with Ceasefire Don't Smoke the Brothers with Mr. Yeah. Malik Farrakhan.
Yeah.
But I was still in a lot of pain, but I still was able to go because I was the youth leader and the youth mayor back then. Even back then, I was always the lead, and the people were looking for me and our youth were looking for me. So I stood tall and stood right by my people. And that's why I think they still love me to this day, because I'm always there for our people no matter what.
You know, when I heard that you got shot, man, it scared me, man, because we done lost too many people in our family for various reasons. And when you lost your brother, Derek, I call him Fast Eddie because he was fast. Then when you get shot in Tayon, violence has been an integral part. The day Tayon got killed, we was up at the Alliance of Concerned Men.
Yeah.
And we went down to Harvard or Girard Street. It was a big crowd. They had just taken him away, man. And you remember, we talked right there. So the bottom line is, there's been so much violence, and you work with Mo Moten when he had Peaceaholics. You rolled up your sleeves. You was involved in the community to save lives and stop some of the killing.
Yeah.
When Mayor Fenty appointed you youth mayor, why did he appoint you youth mayor? What was your job? What were you supposed to do?
My job was to get all the youth together to stop the violence in different neighborhoods where I was always good at, because I knew all of the family members. I was always outside. The family members would come to see me in the club. And I was always good with speaking to people. So they trusted me with the youth. They trusted me, and I was a youth myself, to be able to speak and let them know that. I always tell the young brothers in the neighborhood, you're not going to be 15, 14, 16 for the rest of your life. You're going to go on and have a family, a good job, college maybe. Whatever you're going to do, you're stepping stones. You can't just be thinking that a gun or you fighting for a neighborhood, you will never be able to own that street sign or a block on that neighborhood public housing, which is all a trap.
Yeah.
We was taught, like Inner Voices, I learned from you a long time ago, just listening to stuff, you know what I mean, coming down there with my mom and going to Lorden with Dirk and just listening. A lot of that stuff was embedded in me through my bloodline from my family. So I was always a good listener. But, you know, as young, you grow up in the neighborhoods we were in. It's right there when you come out your front doorstep. So you either got a 38 special, a 45, PCP, crack cocaine, or heroin. It's your choice, whatever you want to pick. But I chose to go the other way. I'm not saying I was a saint, but, you know, I was a bad little kid myself.
I know that.
So, you know, it's really interesting that the creativity that's part of y'all's family, that's what oozes through your blood, the ability to rise up, you know, from, you know, all the craziness that's going on and do really positive, productive things in the community. So, you know, when you say you used to go down Lorden or whatever and watch Inner Visions, Inner Voices. You know, and looking up to your uncle, Roach, you're his uncle, right?
Yes,
my mother and my uncle Roach are brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
All right, okay. So it's not
through marriage, it's a real uncle.
Yeah, it's the real bloodline,
right?
Yeah.
You're carrying it on through the generations, Roach.
That's part of the joy I feel in terms of seeing somebody like my nephew, Big G, doing what he's doing, and he's having impact locally, nationally, and internationally. Our show goes internationally. So we got people who listen to the show, and everybody who's black have some experience of contact with the criminal justice system. We all do. It's a part of our DNA.
Punishment system. Yeah. Yeah.
I call it a part of our VIP. I mean, very important prisoners. You know what I mean? But we all have that. So all this sugar boogie that we've been going through, I want to ask a couple. If you were the mayor, and Mayor Fenty appointed you as the D.C. youth mayor, if you were the mayor right now at Washington, D.C., what would you do to reach the youth to stop some of this crazy killing and all this off-the-wall violence? If you were the mayor.
First thing I would do a town hall, and I would have to separate it. We'd do a town hall in uptown, northeast side sector where we are,
Southeast and get everybody together once we get all the leaders together, because it's always us against us. And yeah. Now you have the social media with the network, and then they got the Snapchat when them youngers be beefing with each other on the social media. And sometimes it just be a trickle down effect where one person might say something about this person, and then they do the little free car rap and all of that. I get all the youngers together separately, and then we'll get all the leaders together and see if we can come to some type of conclusion where we can get them to truce it and stop the killing. Because eventually it's gonna get way too out of hand.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that'll be my first step. I get with all the leaders. That's what we used to do with Peace of Hearts. We used to get with all the leaders because I squashed that beef with Chopper City and Lynch Mob that time. And they had it on YouTube, and they ain't never had no problem since. Sometime it trickled down. Just got to keep going.
This is one of the reasons why we got Anwar Big G Glover with us. We need to listen here and listen to the folk who are on the front line, who are in the streets. He's been shot while performing. He has his brother been killed. Other family members have passed away due to violence. The answer to our problems in the street is our youth. Don't nobody talk to them. I was talking to a guy the other day, and we said we grew up, and on all our corners, there was a number backer, a number writer. They'd be on the corner, and them guys be clean. They have on cashmere coats and all kinds of expensive. They was also our fashion police. They'd tell you, pull your pants up. Don't curse in front of this elderly lady. That could be your mother, your grandmother. Them guys are no longer on the corner, so we don't interact and get the little touch-ups that we get on from the corner. The guy said, man, don't curse. Don't do this. Don't. And you listen to them, and you can go to them and borrow money. You didn't need collateral. They say, look me in the eye and tell me you're going to pay me back, and he give you money. That whole corner mentality is gone, so we don't have no way to relate or reach our kids. Our kids run, walk right past us, don't say nothing. Folk, we need to bring the people who are part of the problem, who's making this stuff happen. We can reach them. Because one of the things that's going to turn me, I mean, why is there so much killing and it ain't about drugs as much as I thought it used to be? It's now it's about attitudes, personality. You looking at me or you messing with my woman. Why is it that we're killing each other over things that ain't really that serious?
A lot of times it just be over a neighborhood, an old neighborhood dispute that the young brothers are still carrying on that was 20 and 30 years ago.
And they forgot what the beef's about.
They don't even know what they beefing about. They just know that that neighborhood was feuding with that neighborhood, and they kept that neighborhood feud going.
Well, how would we deal with that? If you got two neighborhoods, because I know it's 40% tardy rate. It's 4 out of every 10 kids are not going to school in D.C., 40%.
Yeah.
So what do we do to reach these kids that can't go in different neighborhoods? What can we do to reach them?
Just
what
like would you say? We get the leaders from each neighborhood, get that together. Also, they took the music out of schools.
What you mean?
We don't even have the music in school no more. The marching band, the music, a few schools had the marching bands like Easton and Blue. But they took all the music out of the schools where they learned how to play instruments. That's how I was taught. When we learned right there in Lincoln Junior High, they took the music out of the schools, and we get that music implemented back in school. And it was a lot of togetherness.
Yeah.
You'll meet this person from 37. You'll meet this person from 58. You'll meet this person from 640. You'll meet this person from Girard, Felmont, you know what I mean? 14th and WC. Like, that's what the group is. And the music teacher be like, hey, this is this brother from here. What you know how to play? Can you learn? I want to learn to play the keyboard. I want to learn to play the French horn or the trumpet. So it was like that. There was a lot of ways that we used to connect and learn and reach out to each other through music.
Yeah. See what we're talking to. We're talking to Anwar Big G Glover. He was designated as the youth mayor under Mayor Aiden Fenton. November the 20th has been designated as Anwar Big G Glover's Day. He's won all kinds of awards on TV, film, music, been all around the world. And we're talking about what can we do to stop this violence? Because most of it's coming from our youth, supposedly. And he was designated as the youth mayor under Agent Fenton's administration. I asked them the question, what can we do? I'm tired of looking at all the laws and legislation coming down from Congress about our youth taking kids to trial at 14 years old as adults and giving them 40, 50 years. Every city around the country is coming down with some repressive legislation designed to hurt our youth. So what can we do? Now, I'm talking to Anwar, my nephew, but what can we do to reach our youth to stop some of this, man? Because we make up more people in Washington, D.C. or America has more people locked up than Russia and China combined. And everybody that's locked up is young, black, male or female or brown. So we have to get together, folks, to stop some of this joogie boogie that's killing us and hurting our family. We're going to open up the phones a little later. The phone number to call is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893 to call in with a question or a comment. You're listening to Crossroads on WPFW 89.3 FM, your station for jazz and justice. PFW is heard around the world, and folk, ain't that something? People from around the world can hear this jiggy boogie that we talking. We want to thank everybody for tuning in. If you got a question or comment, you can call in. Nikichi, there's a big event going on. There's a big event going on tonight, a go-go celebration of the wars at the Lincoln Theater on U Street, right next to it, Ben Shiller Bowl. Have you heard about it, Nikichi?
Actually, I have not. I've kind of been out of the loop, so fill me in on it. As much as you can, yes.
Okay, I'll let you go, G.
It's a go-go.
Yeah.
Go-Go Wars is tonight at the Lincoln Theater. They're going to have the red carpet. And also coming up on 50 years of Go-Go. So this is special. All the bands will be there, the family members, the Wars. This is our big time to show out. You know what I mean?
This is your Super Bowl.
You see BET Awards and all those different awards, Grammys. This is us for our city, our music, for what we worked through all these years and throughout the year. And it's just going to be a big celebration tonight at the Lincoln Theater. I'm super excited. Shout out to my man, Ron Moten, too, from the Go-Go Museum.
Go-Go Museum, yeah.
Put that thing together. Shout out to Ron Moten and everybody on his staff that worked tirelessly.
Yes.
And worked to put this thing together.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that Ron Moten is off the chain. I mean, Moten is all over. He's doing stuff, and the man risked his life. I know a situation where his life was in jeopardy a couple of times, and he stood right up and faced it head on to Ron Moten and to the folks that put on this Go-Go program tonight. It's been over 50 years. How old are you, man?
Take a guess.
I ain't 35? Yet. You 35?
I wish.
Plus taxes.
I'm in my late 40s. I'll let y'all know when I get to that part. You know, we was sprinkled today yet. I still got good knees, darling.
Well, this go-go been over 50 years, man. I mean, it's amazing. I ain't that old neither.
Yeah, nah, at all.
Yeah.
But you won't give yourself enough credit, though, Hug. Like, even though we had to come down there to see you in Lawton and you did the Inner Voices, I watched you on stage and watched a lot of your old tapes with stage plays.
Yeah.
And you inspired me to be into acting and stage. And you did that and you created that in the penitentiary for a lot of people to do it outside in Broadway and all that. We ain't had those outlets here in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And I try to carry that tradition on and just keep on going and going. So, you know what I mean? I was like, oh, that ain't for real men to do stage and all that. I said, well, I had one of the roughest uncle ensembles in the world.
Yeah, Rabbit.
You know what I mean? My Uncle Rabbit. And I still learn some stuff from him to this day that I can't tell people that kept me alive right now.
Yeah.
Because if I tell y'all, it won't be a jewel. Because
yeah.
I keep that jewel. But
yeah.
You know what I mean? My Uncle Rabbit, we was locked up together over DC jail too before I went to youth center. And he told me a lot of different things as well.
See, this is, and you're getting bits and pieces of this. This is my nephew. We all grew up together, different parts of the city. But our paths are crossing. He was locked up over the jail. Incarceration, being locked up, being black, being in the community is a part of our DNA in our community. And when I heard you was over the jail with Rabbit, I was over there, me, my brother, my grandfather, we all over, my nephew, everybody's over the jail at one time or another, some at different times. But that jail experience teaches you something, man. It teaches you how to work with people, how to deal with people that you don't have, won't have no contact with. But the bottom line is, I think it makes you a better person if you can get in, if you can use that time inside of jail to focus on you. You can come out a better human being because you move, a lot of distractions are moved away from you. So
I learned a lot there.
Yeah.
I learned a lot.
Well, you know, I still run into guys. I Rabbit been dead over 25 years. And would you believe I still run into people and say, man, your brother Rabbit saved my life. Yeah. Oh, he did this. He did that.
And that's when on his deathbed, I was over the jail with him when he was dying.
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, man, he still made sure I had what I needed
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He had people coming to me. It was like, man, your uncle say, make sure you're in a straight place.
Yeah.
So I was like, my family, that's why I say you don't give yourself enough credit, because our family was strong. For a lot of the young brothers, you don't get them opportunities to have a strong family like that, because a lot of the young brothers get pushed out. And then, you know, the next step is when you're in that penitentiary, you either going to be named Clarence or Clarissa.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a tough.
Clarence or Clarissa.
Our family was pretty strong. Yeah. We was going down Lorton as kids for fair day and stuff like that. So we thought it was like, I guess, okay.
Yeah, because so it was a part of the community.
Part of the community. Yeah. So that was like, then when I finally got my own number, 254-368, I knew it wasn't no good.
That was your number. Say that number again.
254-368.
Oh, wow, that's
sent me down Lord in the youth center.
Yeah.
And I got the UFAT, and then I come out on the UFAT, and I say I wasn't going back. And then I still was kind of getting into trouble, but my mother was paying my lawyer.
Yeah.
And she got tired of it, man. Like, well, you tear my pockets down.
Yeah.
So I turned it around from there. You know what I mean? Got with a strong woman, and I kept going, started chasing my dreams. But I learned a lot from my Uncle Roach Brown, man. Strong, powerful man. At Washington, D.C., very rich history with the Brown family.
Well, I just want to say this, man, that it warms my heart that we've been working for 51 years with criminal justice, getting people in and out of prison. And to see you, my nephew, come through, and, man, you're breaking ground, you're creating jobs, you're saving lives, you're turning communities around, you're organizing and mobilizing people. So we need to reach out to Anwar Big G Glover, my nephew, and some more folks at GoGo, because they can reach the kids in the street. Yeah. People, let's save our lives. We can save our lives. And you got somebody here who's there, who's on the front line, who people respect, look up to, and listen to, and they need funds. He had me like Mo Moten when he started with Peaceaholic. These guys was risking their lives, folks, to go in these dangerous neighborhoods to stop some of this foolishness and this jiggy-boogie. Yep. And we got him here today. Tonight is a big go-go celebration at the Lincoln Theater. I think it's a 40th or 50-year anniversary of the
50-year coming up. Yeah,
50 years coming up. Yeah. Folks, these are the people that we need to tap into who can help us make our streets safe. The music is leading it. All the kids are listening to it. So let's jump on board and see what we could do to help make Washington and these other streets safe, because GoGo is all around the world.
Yes.
And it's growing. And I feel blessed and lucky that my nephew played a big part in this, making this stuff happen, because with Petey Green and Chuck Brown and all these guys coming in, Lil Benny, man, a lot of giants have come through this city and left big imprints, and we need to make sure that those imprints stay big and we reach the younger kids, because we can make our cities, we can make it safe. We ain't got to go through all this yoga, but we don't need no National Guard. We don't need correction officers. We need
we don't need what happened January 6th today, whenever that was, you know, the storming of the Capitol. I mean, I'm just saying, there's a lot of jiggy boogie that doesn't even emanate from our people here in the community that's thrust upon us. So I just want to say, let's keep the music strong, because when the music is strong, our people are strong. I know I came up to our Last Poets and Gil Scott Heron and all like that. So we need those strong messages.
You're a member of the Taproot Artists and Alliance for California Traditional Arts Community.
Yes.
What is that? That's in California. What is that?
Well, Taproots is like, it's all around the world, but it started there. And it's like when you doing something in your neighborhood, in your city, and they recognize you, they put you on, you talk to the Taproot people. They just emailed me last week that I have a group that I have to go through with. And I think that was through Miss Cora Massaberry too.
Yeah.
With Miss Natalie Hopkins, Ron Moten, they hooked me up with those.
Beautiful, exactly. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. You know, one of the things that really knocks me down is that you've been doing all this work in the community to stop crime, stop violence, and make it safe. And we need to have Mo Moten. We got another call coming in, but we'll take that a little later. Mert. I got a call coming in.
I got my 501c3 Hugs Not Slugs as well.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to mention that. He got a group called Hugs Not Slugs. You want to explain what your program is about called Hugs Not Slugs?
Not Slugs, nonprofit 501c3. came up with Hugs Not Slugs. It was a slogan that I always said that the kids, when I was working with Peace of Hearts, a lot of kids really never really get a hug in their household.
Yeah.
In their neighborhood enough that they get a slug before a hug. So I always say, let's embrace the youth, talk to them, give them hugs. Because like I say, if you ain't getting a hug at home, where can you get it from? Yeah. So we provide that. We go into different schools and all the different neighborhoods. We talk to the youths. And when I say it's a beautiful thing that we get those kids listening to us in those junior high schools, elementaries and high schools, and they tell us the stories about how they lost their loved ones, how they don't eat at night, how they hear gunfire, can't sleep. Those are the stories that need to be told, and those are the things that we have to deal with every day that they don't talk about that the youth are going through.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what we did, the Hugs Not Slugs, and we have an amazing staff.
You know, you're bringing back memories to me. When I started in the Voices in Lawton, we used to come out and go to high schools in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, went all across the country. And we break down like what you did and got into classrooms to talk to these kids. People, we need to roll up our sleeves, back up, and reach back to our young. We can solve the crime and we can reduce the crime in our communities. But people need money. You ask somebody to risk their life to come from one part of the city, and they don't have transportation to get over there. How can they work with a kid if they don't have transportation to get there and they don't have nothing to eat when they get finished working with the kids? Just get them on the right direction. So
they have to dedicate the money out to the city for,
there you
for
go.
Programs like that. They got money for everything else, but they don't have money for the program. They have money for certain programs or the money that they want to give.
There you go.
So we got to give everybody that's really putting their feet on the ground, like really working and getting it done. Those are the ones that really need.
What do you think caused crime? What caused crime?
Less jobs. They stopped the like the mayor youth jobs. No jobs. That's the main thing. Them kids want to have money.
There you go.
You know what I mean? That's the main thing why I think the youth with the jobs. Maribor had no jobs, summer job. Maribor had me two jobs.
Yeah.
I used to ride and deliver the papers to the Ronald Reagan building, and I had another job of cleaning up. Then I used to run food numbers at Ben's Chili Bowl on U Street to the basketball that used to play basketball on Harrison basketball.
Yeah, that's right.
So we had all kind of ways to make money. It was just money. That's the kids don't have no money. They poor. Everybody's poor. So, you know what I mean? You got to really have those resources. They got the money. They get that money.
You know, it's amazing. I read last week that every day they send $10 million to Israel.
Yeah.
They get over $300 billion. He gave $20 billion to Argentina. Another $30 billion went to Zelensky in Ukraine.
Okay.
They got all this money. He spent $400 million to build a new White House ballroom for Trump. We need money. $20 or $30 billion can solve the crime in this city. We got people, like you say, we got the horses, but we don't have the resources.
Yeah.
We got the horses, people. We can stop this. Every city got people like Big G all over the city, like Ron Moten and Al Malik Farragon, people Tyrone Parker risking their lives in the trenches to make a change, but they can't even afford to pay the bills. So we got people who can do it, but they can't get the resources because we got the horses, but we don't have the resources. So please keep that in mind. I just asked the question, what can we do to stop crime? Everybody know what can do. The more jobs there are, the less crime there'll be. The more jobs we have, the less crime there would be. Do we have anybody on the phone right now, Mike? No, I thought my mammy called in from Germany because he must be sick, Rick. All righty. Let's see.
Sick Rick.
Let me ask you this. As you were also called the Ghetto Prince. Where do you get the name the Ghetto Prince? What does that mean?
Man, I think I don't read to be honest with you. It was a girl with the Howard University. And she was always like, man, you the prince of the ghetto. And then she kept calling me that. She'd be like, they're the ghetto prince. And
yeah.
Then they just crowned me the ghetto prince. But I said, I'm too old to be a prince now. So I gotta change that name up. It's 2026. I gotta come out with something else. But that's where I can't. That was a young lady named Jacana that went to Howard University. Her Erica.
And she gave me that name.
Yeah, she gave me that name.
For all of the hip hoppers and people listening, what word would you give them because of what's going on with the National Guards coming in Washington, D.C. This is the anniversary of the January 6th when they took over the Capitol in Washington. Tonight, you got this big event at the Lincoln Theater in terms of the Go-Go Awards night. Yeah. What would you say, G, to people listening, and they want to get involved in making our city safe, not just D.C., all over the country, around the world? What can we do?
I say for all the leaders, man, let's stop putting that poison out there, telling them kids to drink that syrup and all that old wild stuff. Stop telling them slide. And what you got to understand, when they slide, you don't have no lawyer fees, no money for a lawyer. You're going to get put away for 40, 45, 60 years. How you start doing 60 years with no commissary? It's a tough road that they ain't really telling you about. So I think if we educate the youth more about the penal system of penitentiary, and educate these parents more, get these parents, hold these parents accountable, and get them in these groups, talk to them, give them job opportunities, help them all together as a family. Because a lot of times they separated. They on social media. When the mother might be trying to make something to eat, they cook. They on social media. You got to put them phones down and really learn back how to love again. Get into the books. Talk to the kids. A lot of them don't even communicate with their own kids in their own household. They don't even know where their kids at night.
Yeah.
So that's why I think the disconnect is with a lot of that. It starts in the household.
We got one call on. We'll take our first call on. You're on the air. Question or comment, please.
Hey, good evening, Roach. How you doing, man?
How you doing? And your name, please?
Mr. Brown. Come call from Southeast originally. I live in Maryland now, but I'm from Southeast.
Okay, come on. It doesn't matter. Come on with it.
All right, let me say this, bro. I was down at a Custer Park, man, maybe about some couple of summers ago. It was a nice day. And they had these little children, grade school children. They weren't even in high school, junior high school. And I asked the guy, the police officer, why were they guarding the bus like they was guarding criminals or something? And he told me, he said they came from the shelter. I said, what they got to do with it? They steal children. But their attitude towards young people, and it's the government, that was a policeman. And I asked him, I said, brother, don't you have something better to do besides running right here, hovering over the kids that way? He said, they come from the shelter. I said, what a difference does it make? They steal children.
Yeah, difference.
I don't know. Right. I don't know why they're in the shelter, but, you know, different reason why people are in the shelter, they're homeless, but what you got to treat them any different than the other children. To me, the best thing they could do is show them love and some respect and lift them up instead of putting them down. But I just wonder, that's why the police, why are you out there guarding these children like you guard convicts in a bus or something, man? And I was real disturbed about it because I told the brother, I said, you got to find something that's better to do, bro. But that's all I have to say, brother, right now. But
okay,
I got a lot of things to say, but I let it go right now.
Thank you. We appreciate what you said. So, hey, Nikichi, you got something you want to say, Nikichi?
I just want to say I just love his slogan, hugs, not slugs. I just love that. Because actually, Roach, you and McKean always said, what's the solution? Well, that is the solution right there, just in that. That phrase, hugs, not slugs. So thank you, my brother, for doing that. And I also like the intergenerational stuff you mentioned, you know, some of the other groups that Roach has on all the time. Many of those are the old timers and all like that. But it's really critical, the intergenerational connection. So I'm glad you got that, too.
Thank you.
But that's not cutting you off. I'm glad you said that, because a lot of times, with the brother that just got off saying how they hovered around the bus and was like treating the kids like they was convicts. Like another thing I always talk to them and say, ask the kids what they want to do. Ask the kids what to make them better. Just don't set a whole program for them. Ask them, hey, how you feeling today? What's going on?
Bring them to the table.
What could we do to make it better for you? Or we could try to work together to do. Because a lot of times when I was coming up, I was like, dang, y'all ain't even asked us what's going on in our life. Y'all ain't asked us, were we hungry? What's happening with us? Did we get touched today? Did somebody give us something or anything?
Yeah,
so a lot of times them kids got so much build up in them. And like you said, the shelter, there was the less fortunate kids and they took them down Anacostia Park. And I see it a lot of times, like they closed all the number 10 Boys and Girls Club that I when we come from school, we'll be right there. We could do our homework, all that, get a snack, then go home and get dinner if you was fortunate enough. But they don't even have that no more.
See, then we're talking about a whole wide range of services. And as the youth mayor appointed by former mayor Adrian Fitney, he was aware, G is aware of the problems since then, and even that even got worse. You're getting the word from the horse's mouth. Here's what can be done to reach our kids and we can save them. We don't need no more legislation to give a kid 40, 50 years at 15 years old and he never come out, and they come out at 70 years old. I got a guy who's 72, he just did 50, and the parole officer asked him, what's his prospects for employment? He never had a job in his entire life. He'd been in jail 50 years, and he asked him, what's his employment prospect? Who gonna hire a 72-year-old man to do what who ain't never had a job?
That's why we had to have the return of citizens things set up for them. Like medical, because a lot of them don't really know what to do. They've been locked up so long. A lot of them don't even want to come out.
Yeah.
I done seen so many different documentaries I done watched, because I like to watch a lot of TV if I could get enhance my skills. I done watched this program, one program, an older guy did like, I think, 40-something years. He came home, and he just went in the store and stole something just so he can go back to jail. They are lost.
Yeah,
they feed you in there. You can look at the TV. A lot of them, the family members have died. They don't have nobody to come out through the outside.
That's right.
So it's jammed up in a lot of it. That's why I fight for those rights that are all the time, like stand on the front line for the return of citizens, because my whole family was incarcerated. My uncles, my father,
everybody.
My mother leave her job. I had to go to Petersburg. They go to the penitentiary, we line up down in front of the head company, we chest the bus, go down, Lord. Those days are over. They sending you out to the federal penitentiary and they coming home with nothing. But they got the funds that they help. But they like, a lot of them brothers rehabilitated, but they just don't know where to go and don't have nowhere to go.
Well, like we keep saying, we have the horses, but we don't have the resources. We got men and women. Folk, when you're talking about bringing the National Guard to Washington, we got men and women who can go in the most dangerous neighborhoods and do whatever need to be done to reduce this, to keep them kids communicating, getting them back in school, getting them back on track. But we need supportive services to make this happen. We don't need legislation to give you 50 years if you did it. One of the things I found out, gang, I was over to jail, and I talked to a couple of guys, and there was one guy sitting in the corner crying. So when I got finished talking, I walked over to him. I said, hey, man, what's wrong, brother? He said he want to go home. He said, go home. The guy told him, said, you home. Said, why? They said, you got three bodies. You killed three people.
Yeah.
You home.
You home.
And a lot of kids, we had 13 kids at our house this weekend, 13 little girls that my wife was dealing with. And two of them got to fighting. And one of them said, I'm going to kill you. And she said it with so much passion. She like 9 years old. Kids don't realize that when you get locked up, you're going to jail. If they catch you, but you don't see that on TV. You don't see you in solitary. You're getting beat. You're never coming home. You don't get no visits. You ain't getting no toilet paper. You can't get nothing to eat. And you talking about you want to go home. So as you said previously, they need to know what's going to happen. If you hurt somebody, you don't see that on TV as much as you see the killings. But when you see it, follow them people, like the documentaries, what they got to go through when you shoot somebody, because believe it ain't no joke, man. It ain't no fun.
It's a wrap. It's over. It's over. Once you do commit that crime, and especially they don't tell you that you had to have no lawyer fees, they're going to give you that court-appointed lawyer that's already working with the government. It's called wash up. It's called done.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, nine of us don't really have a chance, man. We already put in that space where we set up for failure. But we got to jump over those hurdles, man. That's why we got the programs that we really have to just keep trying to push at. Like Hugs Not Slugs, we out here.
You know, you were on an HBO special, a show for 4 or 5 years called The Wire.
The Wire, yeah.
As Slim Charles, and that was one of your breakthrough shots, because you was able to take that and launch to other TV shows and films.
Well, Roach, I didn't hear that. I missed the very first part of the show, but God dang, I didn't know that he was on The Wire, too.
Yeah, Slim Charles, that's where he started.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, I missed that part at the beginning. Oh, my goodness, my brother, you.
No, hey,
all right. Hats off to you.
He's been on several films. He's been on 12 Years a Slave. He's been on Law and Order. And he's been on several television shows, series.
Jermaine.
I mean, he's taken off.
I've been working. And I'm still, I just got picked up for a cartoon voiceover the cartoon called Dog Breath. So y'all can look out for me on that.
Dog Breath. Whose breath is the dog? Who got the breath?
A lot of people got the dog breath. Y'all stay in the clear. But yeah, I play, y'all watch out for that. I'm gonna get my uncle on the updates on it when everything comes to fruition. Yeah.
See, so it's very impressive. Wow.
His story motivates and impress a lot of people to know that he's been in jail. He's been locked up. He lost his brothers, two of them. Yeah. He's been shot while on stage performing below the belt, right?
Part. Lord, I can't believe they can't find out who did that with all the cameras and stuff around. I mean, God dang.
They knew who did it. They know.
Okay, I'll leave that alone.
Yeah, we leave it alone. It's but you know what? That just made me stronger, that you know.
Yeah.
And that's why I preach it all the time to the youth, man. You can do whatever you want, however you want to do it, but just always be a leader, man. Because once you're a leader, you will lead by example, and then you can take some people with you as long as you lead in the right way.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So we're talking to none other than Anwar Big G Glover, one of the founders of the Backyard Band. He's been this go-go save for the last 30, 40 years in this city. He's my nephew. He's been on The Wire. He's been on Law and Order. He's been on several TV specials and shows. He's been traveling all around the world. And what I'm really impressed, he was the mayor of the youth mayor. And he was working with the mayor and Peace of Hardy's and them to solve the problem. And I don't know why we ain't reached back to them. Because then when you look at what the Peace of Hardy's and them was doing during that time, when things went down, the crime rate went down, people were communicating, we were relating to each other. We need to get back to that, people, because right now, I don't care what your politics is, the climate of this country is not favorable to us, the black people, right now. Yeah. Every day we look at something that is being lost or taken or repealed or rolled back. So I want to say, hey, we need your help. I don't know what else to say except that we will bring more people like youngsters who are younger than us, who got the pulse on the city. People, we can save Washington, D.C. We can save New York, Chicago, Rich. We can save all of them. You got people, but they need the resources. We got the horses, but we don't have the resources. Go ahead, G. You want to say something?
So I just want to say, man, like right here in our city, we make the law here, right? Where we break the law here. They print all the money here. The president here. It's so much more things we have here than just the White House. All right? Not just always shouting out what I'm doing. It's a lot of amazing brothers and sisters in this city that's doing groundwork besides me, besides Backyard. Hugs, not slugs. If y'all listening out there, any school, any politician, anywhere, y'all need to have our program in the schools, implemented in the schools. Not just sometime, not just part-time, but all the time. Because I'm a product of my environment. I've been there, been shot 13 times. I'm still here. And I still service my community. And I let the youth know that this is what we have to do to rise up. And we have to keep going. We got to grab these parents, talk to these parents. A lot of times it's your approach on how you introduce yourself. A lot of times we kind of too hostile. We got to talk to, how you doing, sweetheart? How you doing, young man? How was your day? Just talk to the people, man. That's okay. My message for everybody. You know what I mean? I would want everybody to listen to everybody if it's something positive.
Thank you. When
you're coming to Washington, D.C., it's not just Backyard. You got Junkyard. You got TCB, TOB, ABM, man, Rare Essence, Chuck Brown Band, Serious Company, Vibe. You got all the bands. If I forgot a band, I'll get you next time. But there's so many different bands in this city that put that work in for our city and our community. Let's all get it together and let's just work together, man. Because like my uncle said, we got all the horses, but no resource.
There you go.
Let's work hard, man, and keep going, man.
There you go. I mean,
peace and love.
You've been listening to Anwar Big G Glover, the former D.C. youth mayor, go-go icon, lead rapper, backyard band, actor in The Wire, and a host of other TV and films across the country. And the brother's breaking out big, and pretty soon I'm going to see you on the Academy Award.
I hope
you
so.
You know what I mean? I'll be there.
Stay out for my, watch out for my, okay. my documentary. Watch out for it's coming.
And he got a documentary coming out, so keep your eyes open. We keep you tuned into it. You've been listening to Crossroads. This has been Maroach Brown with Mertine and the Keechi. I guess it's been Anwar, Big G Glover. Stay tuned for the next 1 hour. We got Willie Jolly, the inspirational, motivational speaker. He'll be setting you on fire for our second hour, live here from the world-famous Ben's Chili Bowl on 18th and H Northeast. We'll be coming right back in a few minutes. Thank you.
Another week has passed me by. It's not because I didn't try. Nobody saw me walking.
Support for WPFW and Crossroads comes in part from Roach and Mertine Brown, who own and operate Your New Beginnings Incorporated, a 501c nonprofit organization formed in 2018 to develop and create the Inner Voices coast-to-coast social media platforms and community to expand the reach of the need for criminal and social justice reform. More information is available at yourbeginningsdc.org.
Across the country, books are being challenged, restricted, and removed. But stories still deserve to be heard. Social art and culture, along with Mid-Atlantic Arts, WPFW, We Act Radio, and Cozy Black Girl Book Club present Unbanned, an afternoon event centered on banned books, creative freedom, and the power of access to information. On Sunday, January 18th, MLK Holiday Weekend, at the historic Miracle Theater. The event begins with an expert panel led by WPFW Program Director Katia Stead, followed by a screening of the documentary film Band Together. Unbanned brings educators, artists, and advocates together to discuss censorship and why banned books matter. Details at unbannedevent.eventbrite.com. That's unbannedevent.eventbrite.com.
Inviting all D.C. hand dancers, Philly boppers, Chicago steppers, Carolina shaggers, and West Coast swingers, the Treehouse Dreamers venue offers dance music from Motown and more every Friday, 1 to 5 p.m. at 4722 14th Street Northwest. DJ Jammin' Dave and other fine DJs provide an atmosphere offering seniors socialization while getting much-needed quality movement through familiar tunes and dance every Friday. Details at 301-922-4064. That's 301-922-4064. WPFW offering wellness through dance, one activity at a time.
On Monday, January 19th, 9 a.m. until midnight, WPFW presents Injustice Anywhere, honoring the Pan-Africanist MLK and Haiti, the first sovereign Black Republic. From 9 a.m. until noon, we examine the Pan-Africanist legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. From noon until midnight, we center Haiti, her history, triumphs, troubles, and culture. That's Injustice Anywhere, honoring the Pan-Africanist MLK and Haiti, the first sovereign Black Republic. Monday, January 19th, 9 a.m. until midnight. WPFW, Building a Better World, one broadcast at a time.
Good news, family. You can now take WPFW everywhere you go with our brand new WPFW radio app. Stream Jazz and Justice live, listen to archived shows, view the program schedule and playlists, donate, and more, all right from your phone. Download the WPFW radio app today from Apple App or Google Play Stores. WPFW in your pocket. Jazz and Justice wherever you are.
Thank you for supporting WPFW. When you make a pledge, you'll receive a short survey with your receipt or on our website or in an upcoming e-blast. Please take a few moments to share your thoughts. Your feedback helps strengthen our programming, better serve our community, and keep WPFW strong. We truly value your voice.
U.S. out of Venezuela has a new location and time. Tuesday, January 6th, today at 3 p.m. at the Kennedy Center. Meet at the Benito Juarez Monument. Again, U.S. out of Venezuela has a new location and time. Today at the Kennedy Center, 3 p.m. at the Benito Juarez Monument.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man.